UCCF's Be Thinking website, bethinking.org, offers you free access to some of the finest apologetics resources in the world. Make sure you sign up as a BeThinker to receive our monthly email. The BeThinking email is packed with handy information highlighting new articles, film, book and music reviews, and is filled with practical examples of how you can make good use of the excellent and insightful material on bethinking.org to help you grow as a thinking Christian. BeThinkers combine a good understanding of the issues with a character that shows that the biblical truths that the BeThinker describes are authentic and life-changing. Log on to bethinking.org and become a BeThinker today.
Is the Bible sexist? Now, it'd be interesting to see whether any of you have been asked this. I don't want to deal with this for a very long time, but I do come across this a lot, and actually some of the material that I'm sort of sharing with you today is the basis of a manuscript that I'm working on at the moment. And while I was writing the chapter for this book, I had three instances during evangelistic events, different separate instances of people coming up to me and saying this. So I was confirmed that this is an important question. Is the Bible sexist? Well, I would want to say to the person asking this question, throughout the Bible, although religions have been used to keep women down, we need to look at the Bible in and of itself and ask the question. Throughout the Bible, there are amazingly positive images of women and stories that involve women. The very beginning of the Bible starts with God creating men and women, both in his image at creation. And the end of the Bible finishes in the second coming with Jesus coming back, and the church personified as a bride, a kind of female image. So we need to be very careful about writing it off as sexist. How do we see this? Let's just look at the New Testament. We haven't got time to look at the Old, probably, on this particular question. Okay, first of all, Jesus had some female disciples. In a culture where the idea of women traveling around with a group of men or having the status of a disciple was seriously questionable, Jesus has a number of women in his traveling circle. And Luke tells us about this. He says the 12 are with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So Luke mentions these women disciples by name and offers gratitude to them for what they did. Listen to the contrast between that and a kind of contemporary author, Jewish author, Ben Sirach, writing in about 195 BC, who said this: bad temper, insolence, and shame hold sway where the wife supports the husband. Bad temper, insolence and shame hold sway where the wife supports the husband. That shows you how radical it was what Jesus was saying. So Jesus travels with women. We also see this in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 12, 46 to 50. It's the famous instance where Jesus is told that his mother and brothers are outside waiting for him. And the text tells us Jesus points to his disciples and says, "These are my mother and my brothers." This statement is unthinkable if there were not women present among his disciples. Okay, so we also see Jesus teaching women in the New Testament. In Luke 10, verse 38, Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. She engages in theological study. This is the same phrase used of Paul sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. We have one of the most important theological statements of the New Testament given by Jesus to a woman. Jesus stands before Martha and says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Incredible. The first person to discover in John's gospel the true nature of who Jesus is a woman, the woman at the well. And when Jesus says, "You know, I who speak to you am he, the Messiah." So we have these kind of radical endorsements and encouragements of women by Jesus in the New Testament. We also see this in his teaching, and we won't go into this in a long way, but Jesus' parables are drawn from the life experience of both men and women. So, for example, the parable of mending the garment is put alongside the parable of making wine, a parable from the female sphere of life, mending clothes, making wine, a parable from the male sphere of life. And even more radically in Luke 15, Jesus compares God to a woman searching for a coin, and uses an image of himself in Luke 13 as a kind of hen who wants to gather chicks. So we see these interesting and certainly culturally very, very countercultural things about women happening. Then we heard from Bill Craig about women being the witnesses to the resurrection. I think it's also interesting that they are the central witnesses to the cross as well. Remember, it's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other Mary who are standing at the foot of the cross, watching what's happening, witnessing what's happening. Okay, what about women in the early church? We see women teaching theology. An example of that is given to us, Priscilla and Aquila, in Acts 18. We see Mary kind of presented as a teacher of theology. She gives us this amazing theological statement in the Magnificat in Luke's Gospel. Romans 16 introduces this woman Phoebe to us as a deacon of the church. And this interesting word prostastis is used of her, which Paul kind of even applies to himself. It's very interesting. People wonder what that means. We also see that women are prophets in the New Testament. Acts 21, Philip has four daughters who prophesy. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives specific advice about the means, the way in which women are to prophesy. Now, we could go on and look at loads and loads of other examples, and also look at the Old Testament, where we see both men and women are able to pray with equal access to God, and women are affirmed by the Bible as valuable to him. Now, of course, there are texts in the New Testament, two in particular, which call into question particularly women's role of leadership and ministry in the church. And those two texts would be 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. Now, we can talk about afterwards, if you want to, different interpretations of those texts. But what I want us to do is to remember that in our evangelism, when we're talking to non-Christians and skeptics, the prevailing worldview is that the Bible is a patriarchal conspiracy to keep women down. And actually, the opposite is true. The Bible radically affirms, shows love and generosity. Even the Apostle Paul, who is demonized as, you know, this hideous patriarchal sexist, has some very positive things to say about women, and we can be confident about talking about that.